All right, as we've been talking about big college football weekend here, we're going to get into all of the big storylines between Bama, LSU. Got some Big Ten games of note, but I want to start in the Big Ten, and we welcome in Bill Bender covering college football for the Sporting News. And we all woke up to the news that Ohio State will be without Chase Young, and that will be due to was first reported as a potential NCAA issue. Now, Chase Young did release out on social media saying, unfortunately, I won't be playing this week because of an NCAA eligibility issue. I made a mistake last year by accepting a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year at OSU. I repaid it in full last summer, and I'm working with the university and NCAA to get back on the field as soon as possible. I want to thank my family, teammates, coaches, and the whole Ohio State community for all the love and support. God bless and go Bucks. Well, Bill, I don't see this as a long-term thing for Ohio State, but this again kind of puts the NCAA back under the scope of, you know, without knowing the details of what is truly going on here with Chase Young. I feel like there's, again, a lot of knee-jerk reaction, and a lot of it is towards the NCAA today. Would you agree?
Yeah, and it shouldn't be, honestly. I mean, Chase Young is accountable for his actions, and that's what's going on here. Like, those are the rules, and I get that we can bemoan the rule and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, at the end of the day, something happened that they have to investigate, and the fact that it comes from 2018 suggests it probably came from a tipster of some sort, and the best thing to do is to investigate it instead of finding. I know there's a lot of cynicism we can all show through the NCAA here, but in this particular case, I don't think it's their fault at all.
Well, and the other part of this, too, is I read his post right there. It didn't seem like he was sort of playing the victim card either. It sounded like, yeah, maybe he did something that at the time didn't know was a violation. But it did sound like just from that post alone that he's working with them, he's communicating with them, and he's trying to find out, as I'm sure the school is, on when this matter would be cleared up. So it does sound like maybe he is also kind of admitting, yeah, that's my bad, but we're doing whatever we can.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have done that on Twitter, honestly. Mm-hmm. I would have not said anything and have cooperated with them behind the scenes, because now he's already admitted that he's done something wrong, right?
Right.
So, or in there, that at least was, maybe it's not wrong, but at least being investigated, I wouldn't have done that, because now you've given the NCAA the wiggle room to keep him suspended and play by the book. But yeah, I mean, everything's impacted by this. The Big Ten race, college football playoff race, I think his Heisman candidacy, whether it's fair or not, is probably done. And, you know, now it's on the NCAA ruling where there's going to be a trigger reaction either way. If he's ruled eligible, there'll be people that say Ohio State gets treated differently than everybody else. And if he's ineligible, the NCAA will be the boogeyman again.
This is a season that I've looked at Ohio State and said, boy, it's amazing how good they have played in all three phases, but also with the new head coach. And the one thing compared to last year, other than the defense just being improved, is they didn't have any distractions off the field because of the Urban Meyer and Zach Smith whole episode. Now this is kind of a distraction, and without knowing a timetable of a return, do you think that all of a sudden this does kind of hang and weigh over Ohio State, or do you feel like this is a solid enough program that they can move forward with or without him and be able to concentrate on what they're after right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. And again, this happened in 2018, and who was the head coach then?
Yeah.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's something to keep in mind. That now that's another thing we'll see, is how does Urban Meyer respond to this when he's on the Big Noon Cookout or Kickoff Cookout. I must be hungry.
whatever the heck it's called, yeah.
Yeah, and along those lines, and it will be interesting to see Meyer's reaction from one, does he play it like an analyst on a TV show, or mm-hmm. two, does he kind of defer and play defense like he did on the podium a lot last year?
Bill Bender joining us from the Sporting News, college football, as we got a big weekend of games, too. Ohio State playing Maryland, I think we could probably agree it doesn't hurt them in this particular matchup, but they've got a few big ones in front of them. I mean, is that foolish of me to say this doesn't hurt him against Maryland? I can't see Maryland being able to put up a fight, especially considering Ohio State's still a 44-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I may take Ohio State or take Maryland with that spread now, just to, you know, because you don't know how that defense will be impacted. They're missing another defensive end in Jonathan Cooper next week. But at the end of the day, they're not going to lose to Maryland. They're not going to lose to Rutgers either. So I guess the big question is, does this get resolved before they play the last two with Penn State and Ohio and Michigan? And, you know, this does increase the chances for Penn State and Michigan that I thought were very thin chances to win anyway, to maybe win this game. So, yeah, I think definitely we'll have to see how it goes. I would anticipate the NCAA tries to get this done by next week. But again, they work on timetable. It's going to be hard to speculate that.
Yeah. Well, staying in the Big Ten, a game that maybe at the beginning of the year we didn't know would have the kind of implications it would in the divisional races for both these teams, and also, dare I say, even for Minnesota, potentially college football playoff impact, Minnesota hosting Penn State, 11 a.m. Do you believe enough in Minnesota that they could get this done tomorrow?
If they can slow the game down with a run, and Rodney Smith has a, you know, like a 24-carry, 130-yard day, if they can make Sean Clifford make a few mistakes, he hasn't made many, and make it a one-score game, and then bank on the atmosphere that, you know, PJ Fleck has created this, and good on them to have a chance to do this in November. So I think it's going to be tight, but I still like Penn State to win this game. I think their defense could really potentially cause some problems for Minnesota just because they're fast edge-to-edge. I mean, you all get a look at Micah Parsons. He's one of the best defensive players in the country.
Staying in the Big Ten, too, Iowa and Wisconsin, both of those teams still feel like they have a claim at the West Division and trying to get to Lucas Oil Stadium, too. Wisconsin's coming off back-to-back losses. The Illinois one took us all by surprise. I don't think any of us were surprised that they got beat by Ohio State. They get a week off to prepare, as Iowa does, for Wisconsin. Who do you like? Who do you feel is in a better place going into this game?
Neither one of them are in a great place. They've struggled in the last month. I think it'll be a typical Wisconsin-Iowa game, which is the old-school Big Ten off tackle, and Wisconsin has the best player in Jonathan Taylor. So that said, both quarterbacks will have to make some big plays. Nate Stanley's experienced quarterback. He's been there, done that. And I think it'll be a tight game, but it's still hard to pick against Wisconsin in this situation.
Bill, the Alabama-LSU game getting all the headlines, and rightfully so. LSU looks the part finally offensively, too. I want to go over something that was sort of surprising, the fact that injury news on Tua Tagovailoa has made its way out of practice and has got out of Tuscaloosa. Like, I feel like the fact that there is that information about, you know, Tua, yeah, he should be good, but probably not 100%, which I don't think is a shock to anybody. The fact that they've been a little bit more, I guess, free with some of that news, is that by design? Because we don't see that from Nick Saban a lot.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe just to make sure they're game planning for him. Maybe just to get it out of the way. Because a lot of make sure that Alabama fans are fired up as usual. So there's a lot going on with that, you know, LSU and a lot of people that want to pick them. But closer we get to the game time, I just like Alabama. I do. I think they're going to win. I think Tua's going to be healthy enough to go to throw it around to those receivers. I get that LSU's motivated to win this game, but I just think Alabama is a little bit better. And until LSU proves it, right? So, I mean, this is the Tigers' best chance to prove it. But until they do, it's hard not to pick Alabama.
Joe Burrow's and what he's been able to do to this point has been impressive. It's been very well documented. And a lot of people saying that, hey, if they're able to win this game, boy, this could also mean a lot for his future as far as where he goes in the NFL draft. The biggest challenge you think he's going to face tomorrow, is it just the overall environment playing in Tuscaloosa? Or do you see this Alabama defense, certain areas of this defense that are just going to be so different than what he's faced to this point?
The best team they've faced, you know, and he struggled in spots against Auburn. Auburn doesn't have the offense Alabama does. So he had a poor game against Alabama last year. They couldn't move the football. Granted, this is a different system. and they're going to do things differently. Still the same guys on the other side. So I think they're going to have to make some big plays in the passing game with their receivers. Alabama's got a couple big quarterbacks. The running game will be huge. I mean, Joe Burrow can go win this game, and if he does, he will be by far the front runner for the Heisman.
Bill, lastly, the college football playoff rankings come out this past Tuesday. We saw two Big Ten teams in there, Ohio State and then also Penn State. The fact that not only Clemson was out of it, but the fact that Alabama and Clemson are kind of separated by Penn State, I don't know if you had any real hot takes on what you saw in the first rankings, because, again, it's the first rankings, but what were the biggest takeaways that you saw in, I guess, really 1 through 25?
The committee stacked them up right. I mean, I think it's pretty glaring that they like the Pac-12 over the Big 12. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one where they put Oregon and Utah. I would have put Clemson over at Penn State, but Penn State's strength of victory is fine. I'm doing that based on, I think they played Clemson would win by 10, maybe more. But you know, the rest of it's pretty good. I think one of the top five teams have an argument they can use. And the fact that they put Ohio State suggests they are paying attention, because Ohio State's beaten teams by at least 40. Now we'll see how Chase Young changes that. There's always, what I say, if it was this easy, those four teams would go to the playoff, but it's never that easy.
Yeah. Bill Bender covering college football for the Sporting News. It's going to be a very fun day of college football tomorrow. Bill, really appreciate you jumping on. Enjoy the games tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me.
I still feel Penn State, and I think Bill has the best point with the eyeball test. If you were to put Clemson and Penn State on a field right now, how many of us would take Penn State? I know I wouldn't even take them, because even with that little hiccup that Clemson had against North Carolina where they escaped, I still feel the talent defensively, offensively, and Trevor Lawrence has not had the kind of on-course season from what he provided last year, but he's still a very capable quarterback. That's a very capable football program with the amount of guys that they have and guys behind those guys. Penn State has recruited well. I think Franklin has done a good job with that, and you're going to get, I think, even a good indication of that tomorrow, because I think the Minnesota-Penn State game is going to be a fun one to watch. And I'm kind of glad it is at 11 a.m. because I got hockey tomorrow night, so I wouldn't be able to watch a primetime game. So I'm excited to see that one. But I would agree, if you were just to put those two teams on a field right now, I would probably go with Clemson. But if we're just lining up their resumes right now, it's hard for me to say Penn State is behind Clemson. And at some point, this is all going to sort itself out one way or another anyway. All right, going to bounce around with our friend from Bounce Channel 94.1. He comes in. We talk about God only knows what. And, of course, we'll tell you what's on tap before we get out of here. Say him 590.